In many and various ways, God has spoken to our ancestors of old through the prophets. But now, in these last days, God has spoken to us by the Son. Amen. Well, what an exciting drama is taking place in today's first lesson. Moses has been up with God on Mount Sinai for 40 whole days now. But even before he comes down from the mountaintop, he gets word from God that this people he has led out of Egypt are not worthy of the instructions that have been written on those tablets of stone he's holding up there. I don't know why this seems to be such a surprise either to Moses or Yahweh. They have been having trouble with this stiff-necked people ever since Egypt. Now that they have reached Sinai, the Israelites are feeling abandoned and searching for some new kind of presence of God. You see, the worship they perform is not all that different than the worship of Yahweh that they had been doing. There's an altar with offerings, sacrifices, prayers, praises, singing, dancing. Even Yahweh's name is invoked earlier in the chapter. But there is that silly little calf that gets in the way, and it seems to be the people's substitute for the real thing. The people break the foundational commandment of the Decalogue, even before they had been given the commandments from the mountain. The commandments, it seems, were in place even before they were given on the stone tablets. And Yahweh is hot with anger. There's a lot of wrath against sin in the Old Testament, and God's solution seems to be the ones that wipe the people out. We can almost see an evolution taking place in people's understanding of God as we recall the scriptures. There seems to be a wide arc of understanding that God starts out angry in the First Testament and then becomes merciful and nice in the New. But I just finished reading the whole Bible this summer again, and that isn't the way the Bible reads. We think about it that way, but that's not the way it reads. In fact, it's all jumbled up together. At times, God is merciful, and at other times, God is gracious, and at other times, God is angry. God gets mad. Now, it's not just in the Old Testament. If you really want to see an angry God, you just look at Revelation, and you see that God really gets mad there. Yet the main purpose of even that last book that talks so much about God's anger is to bring a word of comfort and hope to a people who are persecuted and feeling at sea. And the same thing is going on in Exodus here. God is angry about the sin for sure, but God eventually changes God's mind so that the sin is forgiven and the people are given a new opportunity to live within the compassion and grace of God's richly provided kingdom. The people become God's community all over again. The royal rule of God is not about to be stymied by the letter of the law. God changes God's mind, and I think that's important in the scriptures to see that God changes God's mind about the sin of this people even before they repent of their trespass, even before they repent. There's a pattern revealed. It gets told over and over again throughout the First Testament and on into the Second Testament as well. Sin is committed. Punishment is sentenced. Intercession is made on behalf or by someone, and forgiveness is put into action. The people worshiped the calf. God decided he was going to obliterate them from the face of the earth. Moses speaks for the preservation of God's covenant and God's people, and God changes God's mind. When it comes to forgiveness, God is willing and quick to change from anger to grace. God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. That is in the Old Testament not once, but seven times. What a beautiful God, what a beautiful word comes to, beautiful God too, what a beautiful word comes to us in the scriptures of the First Testament. And that pattern of forgiveness is also in today's New Testament letter as well. Paul tells Timothy how he persecuted the church, but that in is Christ's mercy, grace, and patience that intercedes for him. Though Paul had done great wrong, Christ's intercession put God's forgiveness into action. And today's gospel gives us even greater insight. The opponents of Jesus were grumbling against him because he was welcoming sinners at mealtimes. Yet his mission was precisely for those sinners. Christ was the good shepherd whose mercy caused him to go after one sinner that was lost. Christ was the poor woman who could not rest until she had found her lost coin. And then everybody gets to celebrate. So it is with God, who comes not to hang out with the righteous, but rather with sinners, not so that they may continue in wrongdoing, that's not the purpose, but rather that so they might have a change of heart. Today's scripture reminds us that God's mercy is faithful and always seeks to put right that which is askew. So we live in a dimension seeking the goodness and grace of God, not only for our own forgiveness, but rather so that we will benefit others knowing that we have been forgiven. Now, today's scriptures do not point us to the theme of God's work, our hands. But nevertheless, we might ask the question, well, once we have been forgiven, what else is on God's agenda? What are we to do now that we are alive in God's grace, active in God's kingdom? What has God freed us to do? What has God freed us to be? Well, there are many answers. Surely one response is to use our ability in service to others, in our church, in our community, in our country, across the world. How appropriate on this 15th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks that we will do service, something selfless for other folks. How appropriate that those of us who know that God has done great things for us might turn to consider our neighbors and be a help to them as well. Whenever we pass on the kindness we ourselves have received from God, we are doing the work of God. With our brawn, with our brains, with our hands, with our hearts. Whatever actions we engage in for the good of our neighbor, those are the expressions of the compassion and mercy that we have seen in God. So let us be this day the hands and feet, the thoughts and compassion of the God who loves us and frees us. Amen. All the paths of our Redeemer are steadfast love and faithfulness. Amen.